This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
God is the light, God is the light. How great the wonder of the heavens and the timeless beauty of the night. How great, then how great the Creator. And its stars like priceless jewels, far beyond the reach of kings. Bow down for the shepherd guiding him home.
This is From Darkness to Light.
But how many eyes are closed to the wonder of this night?
With your host, Haroun Shambel.
The dark stream of desires, but like dreams vanish with the call to prayer, and the dawn extinguishes night. Here too are signs. God is the light, God is the light.
Welcome to another episode of From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Haroun Shambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Today we have with us another interesting guest. We have with us Brother Eric Schrody, also known as Everlast. And we'd like to begin, without any further ado, by saying to the brother, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How's everything going today, brother?
Everything's well, man. It's a beautiful day out here.
Alhamdulillah, man. I wish I could say the same thing about the East Coast. We've had, like, rain for the past 3 weeks straight. It's great fun.
Ain't nothing wrong with rain.
Yeah, man. It's blessings. They just can't do anything with basketball outside in the rain. Anyway. So, anyway, we'd like to begin, and we want to start with, I guess, the most important question, and how is it that you chose to come to Islam?
Well, when I first started making music, in the late 80s, the producer cat I hooked up with, this guy named Bilal Bashir, his whole family was Muslim, and I was around them for a long time and kind of lived with them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But never really, you know, they never really, like, talked to me too much about their religion or anything. But just being around them, I, you know, would pick up, you know, a book here or there, or I'd listen to, like, a lecture of the Imam W.D. Muhammad, once in a while. And after a while, like, a lot of it started making sense to me. Mostly, you know, the lectures of the Imam, kind of just got to me, and they made sense. And, you know, I was raised Catholic and wasn't very satisfied with some of the answers they were giving me. And, you know, Islam kind of just opened the door and said, you know, all these people are people, you know what I'm saying, and they're examples to live by, you know. And I was shocked to find out that, like, it took into consideration the Torah, the Bible, and the Quran, you know.
Mm.
And so that right away made me, you know, just lean towards it a little bit more, because everything else was saying, like, our book and only our book and our prophet and only our prophet are right.
Right.
And Islam kind of said, no, these were all prophets of God. They all had different messages, and just, unfortunately, some of the messages were misinterpreted, you know.
Right. What were some of the, in some of the lectures that you heard, what were some of those points that really stuck to you?
Probably the most influential thing I heard spoken in a lecture, you know, the Imam said something like, you know, I was basically a Christian at the time, even though I wasn't practicing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm paraphrasing. This isn't like the exact words, but the idea he was getting across was something like that, you know, as the belief that we had as Muslims toward Jesus was actually a better belief. Not a better belief like in a judgmental way, but it was actually doing Christians a favor if they would look at it properly by saying, listen, Jesus was human, and everything he did, you know, can be achieved by a human, you know, like,
right.
He said, basically, how would God be able to call you before your judgment and ask you, why weren't you more like Jesus? You know, if he was half a God, I could walk in front of him and say, well, the law, Jesus is half God. How am I supposed to, you know, live up to that?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, it just hit me like a brick. Like, that does make perfect sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and it just, you know, just like I said, the accepting of, like, all the prophets, you know, it just intrigued me. Like, okay, well, what they're saying is all these ideas and thoughts are valid. They're not really canceling anybody out. You know, they're just saying Muhammad brought the last message saying, look, let's straighten this whole thing out. There's only one God.
Yeah.
And all the rest of us are people.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it just made just made perfect sense to me.
Yeah. In terms of what you were saying, like in your upbringing as a Catholic, what were some of those things that you felt the answers that they were giving you weren't satisfying?
Well, I went through all the, like, you know, rituals as a young man in Catholicism, you know, where you go and you have your communion and you have, you know, for me, the breaking point with that religion for me was this thing called confirmation.
Right.
And I don't know how many people know what it is if they're not familiar with it. Confirmation is like, you know, when you're like 13 or 14 years old, they tell you, well, this ceremony you're going to take part in is you confirming to God that you believe this doctrine of faith for the rest of your life. Mm. And when you do this, when you profess this, the Holy Spirit is going to come down and engulf you and fill you with its light.
Mm.
Or whatever.
Right.
And I remember having my confirmation and going through the whole thing and going up and speaking the words, or I forget what the words were even. And, you know, right there when you get anointed by, you know, a bishop or a cardinal, whatever guy happens to be there, and, you know, you're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and it never happened. Like, it didn't happen.
Right.
And, you know, and all the, like, kids around me were, like, you know, talking like it was happening to them.
Mm.
And for a long time, I was just like, well, I must be evil. You know, I must not just be out, you know, fit for this, you know.
Right.
Must be something wrong with me.
Right.
Is what I walked away with it from. And for, like, quite a few years, that was when I was, like I said, that was like, this is at 13 and 14 they make you do this, you know. So it's like, okay, well, you know, what do I do now? You know, I didn't get no Holy Spirit, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, I guess I'm just going to turn my back on this whole thing and just, you know, whatever, do whatever. So for, like, the next probably 6-7 years, I didn't really even think about God or religion. I just was like, well, God didn't think about me. You know, it had my brain really screwed up behind that, you know, like I wasn't worthy of it for some reason. When to come to figure out that basically, you know, children say what they think want to hear.
Right.
So, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and call all them kids liars.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I do realize as an adult that, you know, a lot of them, you know, were doing this for their parents and you know,
yeah.
This act, you know, that they did was being rewarded somehow. So
yeah.
They were saying what they thought people wanted to hear. And, like, you know, I took it way more literal than that. Because ever since I was young, it's like my belief and faith in the fact that there is a God, whether you can explain what, who, or why it is,
right,
has always been there.
Right.
You know, it's just like, that was like the breaking point of saying, all right, there's too much magic and mystery involved in this thing here for me to handle.
Yeah.
And Islam really isn't like that to me. Like, for me, like, when I, you know, all the things that I've learned about Islam have made perfect sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like they add up.
Yeah, it's like all tangible.
Yeah, it's all like, okay, that makes sense to me. Like when they say, hey, Jesus was a man and you could do what he did.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah, it's not like some untouchable kind of thing where it's just like, you know, you're dirty and you know, God is clean and period, that's it. You know, it's like there's no chance for you. All right.
Yeah, I was also always under the impression that God was like standing over my life with like a microscope at all moments.
Right.
Ready to pounce on me.
Right.
And punish me.
Right.
You know, and it's like, yo, man, you know, we punish ourselves enough. God ain't even worried about punishing us.
Yeah.
As far as right now, you know, I mean, I know what's taught to me about, hey, the way you live your life, you know, at the end of it, it's just like a dinner bill. You're going to have to pay it at the end. Whatever the price is.
Right.
You're going to have to pay it.
Right.
You know, exactly. And that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not going to sit here and, like, every bad thing that happens to me in my life, you know, be like, oh,
yeah,
just God, like, why me?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just, it doesn't make any sense.
I feel you. Hold on for a second. We got to step away for a second for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
For Youth Matters, Muslim World News, National News, Islamic Information, Muslim Scholars Insights, Business and Legal Advice, and the hottest debates on current affairs, tune in to IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network, the voice of American Muslims.
How great the beauty of the earth and the creatures who dwell on her. How great, then how great, the Creator.
Welcome back. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Brother Eric. He's been talking to us about his embracing Islam and his struggles growing up. So I kind of want to pick up where we left off in the first segment. You had mentioned it, like, for, you know, after your communion, that for about the next 6 or 7 years, you kind of were just, like, you know, doing your own thing, and you weren't really trying to, like, think about God and stuff like that because of your experience at that communion and whatnot. So at that point, from, you know, I guess after you had, you know, started getting into your 20s, and what then was going on in your life?
It was after my confirmation, just to correct that. Communion is when you're, like, six.
I'm sorry. So, I'm sorry.
What was happening was, in that meantime, I just was living life, and then, like, you know, when I hit, like, 16, I started making music.
Right.
And, you know, by the grace of God, at the age 17, I had a record deal, you know, and then from then I was working on the music, and like I said, I was around this family, and I was around this family for a good 5-6 years before I ever even considered
right
Islam, because these people, they never once, like, told me anything about the way I was living being wrong. Right. You know, they were never judgmental. They were never like, what we believe is the only way, and if you don't live like this, you're going to hell.
Right.
You know, and that alone impressed me. Like, I was always like, wow, man, people are so, like, even before I became Muslim, like, I looked at this family and was like, you know, this is really crazy, because people have no really real conception of what a Muslim family's like. You know, they have all these preconceived notions.
Yeah.
And so just after a while, like I said, of being around, I'd pick up a book, you know, like, you know, and read it, and I'd pick up, you know, a tape and listen to it. And just progressively over years, it just became, like, it made more and more sense to me. And I started, like, living sort of like a Muslim. I hadn't taken Shahada, but I started adopting some of the ideas, like picking and choosing my own parts of it, you know.
Right.
And just the change in my life, like, not in a magical way, just in the way I looked at it and the way, I approached it. For me, Islam is a very, very personal choice. It's not like I don't go around announcing to the world, I'm Muslim, and, you know, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm very proud of it. But, like, I'm not a member of any organized, organization.
Yeah.
Organized organization, right? So, like, it's just, for me, it's my daily battle with my own life. It's like, you know, it's the thing that I can lean back on and say, okay, this is where I know I'm supposed to be.
Right.
So why ain't I here?
Right.
All right. What are all the things that I'm doing wrong? You know, and then there's always something that you're doing wrong. You know what I'm saying? I tell people all the time, like, you know, like, I see, like, cats get born again, right? And, you know, and I've seen this many times. And I'm not being judgmental. All I'm saying is I've seen guys be born again. Like, one day they're drug dealing killers, and the next day they're saved.
Right.
And, like, you know, and, you know, it never lasts. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It lasts a few months. You know, as long as the high of that initial introduction to God or spirit,
I'm feeling you, it's like an emotional decision,
they're there for it, you know. And then as soon as the high goes away and life starts again, you know, they give up on it. And I went through a very similar high when I first took Shahada.
Right.
For like 6 months I was on the deen hard.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you couldn't tell me that this wasn't the only way, and you still can't tell me it ain't the only way.
Right.
But, like I'm saying, I was on that high where God just clears the path for you.
Yeah.
Says, there's not even going to be a pebble in your way for this first 6 months.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
I can relate.
And you're just cruising.
Yeah.
And then sooner or later, you know, the rope runs out. And, like, you hit the end of that rope, and you have to start living it, and you have to start working it. and making it work for yourself, and you have to put your jinn in a box and lock him in there.
Yeah.
And he breaks the lock all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
that's
how I look at it. It's like, I'll catch myself. You know, people like, I was raised Western, Catholic, Irish, drinking, all that kind of stuff. You know, so, it's like there's a lot of demons that I got to dance with probably for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But Islam is my sword, I guess, that says, okay, I'm going to fight as many of y'all off as I can.
Yeah.
You know, and if some of y'all beat me, that's a battle. That's not the war.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that was making much sense, but...
No, it does. It does. I've experienced myself, like in my own personal experience when I became Muslim, and I've seen it around me as well. I think it's also something synonymous with youth. You know, when people embrace Islam at a young age, like I was and a lot of the people that I was around were very idealistic. And so that period, like you were saying, like that 6 month period, it's like it can extend for some people, you know what I mean? And it becomes a thing where you're like being like pseudo pious, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you don't really realize what it takes to really be a Muslim. You have all these ideas in your head and these thoughts, and you know how to like argue and talk and whatever, but when it comes down to like walking the walk, you don't, you know? And for me, it's exactly what you were talking about. It's like, there's a certain point where you have to like, it's like you wake up and you realize that, you have to roll your sleeves up and get to work, and you have to be conscious of who you really are inside. And you can't like, it's and like you said, it's like a very personal thing. It's not like you have to be broadcasting what you're doing on a daily basis and who you are and what you're about. It's like a very personal thing. And you're always fighting off your demons. You're always trying to just like struggle so that you can, like obtain some kind of light and some kind of tranquility in your heart, and knowing that like what you're doing is the right thing in these things in terms of like fulfilling the commandments of God and stuff like that. So it makes total sense, man. It makes total sense.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at it is like this is like, I'm the complete opposite of like the total pious guy.
Right.
Walking around. Like most people who know me and ain't or aren't Muslim have really no clue that I'm Muslim.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I was raised and under like a lot of different, things like that are in contrast to Islam besides just being American.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And living in America where it's like, a smorgasbord or whatever you want.
Right.
For me, being Muslim means I bear witness there's one God and Muhammad was his final prophet.
Yeah.
And I try to make my prayers on time, which people think that's easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And
up.
It's not.
Yeah.
And I try to be charitable as I'm supposed to be. And I try, but like my only defense of my own person is like, of like, sins I might commit is I'm honest. I wear my everything on my sleeve.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There could be, I pray it doesn't happen, but like, somebody could catch me out in the city drunk in 6 months.
Right.
I don't want that to happen, but if it did, I wouldn't be like, oh no, that's not me. Oh, I wasn't doing that. I'd be like, yeah, I got caught out there.
Yeah.
I succumbed that night.
Yeah.
I had a few drinks, and it's, you're not supposed to, but like I said, these are battles I'm going to have to fight the rest of my life.
Yeah. People don't understand that either. You know what I mean?
For the most part, I do well. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, I don't go around, acting a fool.
Right.
So Islam has, when I look at myself 10 years ago and I look at myself today, I see what Islam has done in my life.
Right.
So if you look at that and you say, okay, well, 10 years from now, I'll be double where I am from now. Maybe by the time I die, I'll have mastered this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I feel you.
If somebody once told me, because like after my initial period of that euphoric, it's just the whole rest of my life is going to be a cakewalk with this.
Right.
After I got over that high and I went through some really, I actually fell really hard the first time.
Right.
And like went right back to the way I was living.
Right.
But still was Muslim.
Right.
That's the thing is once you accept it and you know it, you can act all the fool you want, and there's going to be a part of your brain that's always telling you, like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Why are you doing it to yourself?
Yeah.
You know it's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop you, but you know it's wrong.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know if you want to call it your angels talking to you or what, You know what I'm saying? But a man sat me down, one of the heads, the father of the family that I lived with, after a few years, sat me down. He was like, listen, man, you know, I expressed to him my disappointment in myself and all this. And it was like, he told me, you know, as long as it's taking you to get the way you are, it might take you that long to get the way you want to be.
Right.
And it just, you know, as simple as that sounds, it, like, gave me an incredible amount of relief.
Right.
Where I said, okay, now don't use that as an excuse to just waste time.
Right.
But use it to help yourself understand that, you know, nobody gets the answers overnight and nobody masters this thing. You know, all the dudes, even the dudes that we think are the masters of this, go home and deal with something.
Right.
You know, and you know, just knowing that, you know, makes you go, okay. I'm gonna do me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna use this tool that's stuck in my brain now, because I bore witness to the fact that there, you know, there's only one God and Muhammad's his prophet, and you know, I peek in the Quran and I read sections, and you know, they stick,
yeah,
even if you don't understand them.
Yeah.
You know, like I've read parts of the Quran where it's like, okay, I don't really even know what I just read, and maybe like 6 months later something will happen and it all, I'll be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I read
it. It all makes sense, right?
Yeah, I read this.
Yep.
I read about this exact situation.
Like you taste it.
You know.
Yeah, man.
So, it, you know, it's for me, it's just like, yo, it's my tool belt, you know?
Yeah, I got you. Hold on for a sec. We got to step away for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
Do you enjoy IBN's programs? Do you think it's important for us to be on the air? Support IBN by making a pledge today, $1 a day, to the Islamic Media Foundation. Help IBN programs to continue by making your monthly contribution today. Pledge $1 a day online at www.ibn.net or call us to pledge over the phone at 703-241-9659. Help us continue to be your voice. The voice of American Muslims.
As its mountains pierce the clouds, high above the lives of men, weeping rivers for thousands of years. But how many hearts are closed to the wonders of this sight?
Welcome back. You're listening From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Eric. He's been telling us about his journey to Islam. And in our last segment, we're going to finish up with a few important questions for him. I wanted to ask you, like, now, you know, obviously since you've become Muslim, I definitely personally, I'm sure that our viewers have noticed a difference in the style of music that you do. And not just the style in terms of, like, the music itself, but, like, the lyrics and things like that. And a lot of the things that I've heard in your lyrics, I can feel the struggle that you got going on. What I wanted to ask you is now where you're at, what are you trying to do in terms of your music artistically to continue in that same kind of progressive manner?
I just kind of trust my heart, you know. I don't try to, like, incorporate Islam into my music.
Mm.
I figure Islam's a part of me,
right?
And you know, music is one of my only form of, like, intimate, truthful expression about myself. Like, you know, things I don't tell my homeboys and stuff. Like, you know, come out in my songs,
right?
Like, to, you know, and so I just assume that if Islam's a part of me, and you know, that's going to speak through that somehow indirectly. I don't want to, like, go to the world and be like, you know, judgmental and be like, you know, this is the way, and if you don't believe this way, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
it's just like, yo, whatever thoughts, like, that I have, you know, I just stay true to my heart, man. And my heart is, you know, speaks, you know, Islam speaks through my heart, man, you know. So
right,
you're not going to get, like, you know, passages from the Quran in my songs, but you know, once in a while it peaks through.
I got
it. Says something, like, you know, I did a song for Santana, and like did this whole song and recorded it, and then, like, just at the end, all of a sudden, like, I found myself singing La Ilaha Illallah.
Subhanallah.
Like, that wasn't written part of the song. I wouldn't have dared to write that. I would have thought that was wrong.
Right.
But, like, singing it while we were recording it, and I was like, I didn't even intend for it to go on the record, but once I heard it, I was like, wait a minute, you can't take that. That's got to stay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's just, you know, like I struggled with it for a while, too. Like, yeah, that's like actually from the Quran, that's, you know, wow, is that wrong or right, you know? But then I've gone all around the world since, and, you know, I've seen Muslims at almost every show.
Yeah.
You know, come up to me in one form or another, like, yo, we couldn't be out in the crowd. You know, there's some that just won't mingle in the crowd because, you know, they're real strict on certain things, you know, and there might have been a bar in the venue or something.
Right.
But they'll find a way to find me and be like, yo, that inspired me. That made me feel way less alone in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, well, it just blew my mind. You know, I'm talking about from California out to Germany.
Wow.
You know, like where people were coming out, like, you know, I was really amazed. And like, I think the heart of most of my songs is trying to do the right thing or trying to say the right thing or at least be truthful.
Right.
About what's going on. You know, even if I'm totally in the wrong and I'm living foul, if I'm truthful about it, there is some redemption in that. Because, like, you know, I'm not looking for an excuse. You know,
yeah.
When I stand before God and he reads off my list of sins, and if I'm convicted, I'm going to be like, yep, I did all that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm here to pay the price. You know, I know the rules. See, the thing for me is, like, Islam has shown me the rules, told me how I should live for my, and it tells you in the Quran, man, this is like, you know, we ain't going to make you do this. I ain't going to make you do this as your God. I'm just telling you what's best for you. You know, if you do this, this is best for you.
Yeah.
If you don't, go ahead, live your life.
Yeah.
I don't need you. You need me.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, I know the rules now. And hopefully before I die, my heart will have given enough of itself to Allah that, you know. Just real quick, man. One of the things that blew my mind in the Quran was when it was talking about who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. And there was one part, and I'm paraphrasing because I have not memorized the Quran by any means. But there was a part that says, even God's going to search hell even after a short period of time for even a person with the smallest amount of faith in their heart.
Yep.
And will bring them. You know, so and the reason that blew my mind was because every other religion is telling you, hey, once you go, you're burning forever.
Yeah.
You know, if you take hell as this fiery pit of hell, whatever. But what that passage in the Quran told me said, hey, you may be punished for some of the things you do, but if you even believe this much, God's going to find you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then another thing told me in the Quran was like, everything Allah created will return to him. Like, and again, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not saying the exact words. But I'm like, those two things blew my mind. Like, now that sounds like an all-merciful, all-powerful God. Not the guy who's like, you know what, I'm done with you. Go burn forever. I'm going to forget about you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
So, you know, those things, you just take all that stuff and you say, all right, man, let me... You know, I think the biggest lesson about the whole thing is, like, it's the same as the golden rule anywhere else. You know, do unto others, man.
Yeah.
The mercy you show other people.
Yeah.
And the kindness you show other people. No matter what else you do in your own little dark little bedroom or whatever, if you're kind and merciful and forgiving towards other people, that's going to find its way back to you. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not saying go out and be a killer and... You know, some people could hear something like that and use it as an excuse to just screw up all the time.
Right.
If you take it the right way, you can understand, like, wow, man, I got a lot of room to work with here.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
If I stumble and fall, it's okay. Don't trip.
Yeah. Just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and get back in the mix. Man, I'm unfortunately, we run out of time. I'm going to have to get you on the show again because you got a lot of things I want people to hear about, Shali. You got a lot of good energy in you. But I want to end this first by thanking you for spending the time with us and doing the interview.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man.
Alhamdulillah. And I'd like to also say for our viewers, in closing, for all those people that are people of faith, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And for all those people that are not people of faith, just remember that it's never too late. Please join us for another episode of From Darkness to Light.
God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.